Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Good afternoon on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. How are you? 51551 or ray at rte.ie. We've lovely people for you to meet today. After 4 o'clock, Kathy and Colleen, right? Kathy's from New Jersey. Colleen's from Australia, Canberra in Australia. They were pen pals when they were 10. 50 years on, they met for the first time in Dublin Airport this week, and they're coming in to tell us their story. So we're really looking forward to that. That's Kathy and Colleen after 4 o'clock. Before 4 o'clock, Sister Stan and Lyra. Two amazing women. And they're in to talk to us about Rock Against Homelessness, a gig which is happening this week. So we're really looking forward to talking to Sister Stan and Lyra. And of course, the other amazing woman that's in the news today is Tina Turner. And I don't know about you, but I was very sad when I heard that she died. And I heard somebody on Liveline there saying that I thought she was going to live forever. And she was one of those people, she had an energy about her that suggested that she would live forever. She was superhero-like, invincible even, and her strength and her power and her resilience and all the positive stuff. And on top of that, she could dance and she could sing and she could command an audience. Like that big gig in Rio de Janeiro or someplace down in South America that she did, she played to 100,000 people. Amazing. And if you haven't seen the documentary, Tina, it is just mind-blowing. And if you're a fan of hers, she'll just go up and up and up and up in your estimation. Anyway, loads of talk from loads of people today. But here, we're going to celebrate her music. Yes, the great Tina Turner. We don't need another hero. ...1985, and I suppose that was the second Tina. Prior to that, she'd been with Ike, and then she'd released a few solo albums. But she became herself with the LP, the CD, the long player, whatever you call it, Private Dancer. And that's when she became a global star in her own right. But back to the early days, her and her husband, Ike. This was produced by Phil Spector, a couple of dodgy men in her life.
When I was a little girl, I had a rag doll, only doll I've ever owned. Now I love you just the way I love that rag doll, but only now my love has grown, and it gets
River Deep Mountain High from 1966. She was born Anna Mae Bullock in 1939 in Brownsville, Tennessee. And she was brought up in Nutbush.
A church house, gin house, schoolhouse, outhouse, on highway number 19. The people keep the Santa clean. They call it Nutbush. Oh, Nutbush.
Powerful, powerful. She was a great interpreter of a song. She could take any song and make it her own. And this was the big one, wasn't it? Still, all over the world, particularly this country, it's a karaoke favourite.
Proud Mary, keep on burning, and we're all
Brilliant. Proud Mary. And the song, it's the most listened to on Spotify, and I suppose it introduced Tina Turner to a global audience. The song that was first offered to Cliff Richard, he said no, don't like it. Donna Summer said no. Bucks Fizz said no. But Tina Turner spotted a hit and said, yes, I'll sing that for you.
You must understand, the touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl opposites attract. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than.
That was number one all over the world. She was the oldest woman at the time to land a US number one. She was 44. And if that song was offered to Cliff Richard, Donna Summer and Bucks Fizz, this song had been offered to Bonnie Tyler. And she said no. And now, I don't know if there's any chart anywhere of songs used on television and at events around the world. I think this would definitely be in the top five, if not number one.
You're simply the best.
Very sad, very sad. She had hits in seven decades because a version of What's Love Got to Do With You, produced by Kygo, who did Higher Love with Whitney Houston, was in the charts in 2020. So from 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, noughties, 10s and 20s, Tina Turner has been in the charts. And of course, her musical is still running in the West End in London. She lives on. She lives on. Her music lives on, which is great. And what an amazing musical legacy. And that's before you talk about the woman and what she's been through and what she survived and how she provided inspiration for so many people around the world. She will be missed. The world is a lesser place today after the death of Tina Turner. Now, Sinead, you must have a favourite Tina Turner song, do you?
I love GoldenEye, the James Bond theme. GoldenEye, I found your weakness. It's brilliant.
Well done.
Pierce Brosnan as well.
Yes, she was singing it to an Irishman, written by two Irishmen. Did you know that?
Well, I didn't know this until today when I saw it on Twitter. Was it Bono on the Edge?
It was. Now that you've said it, let's play it.
Yes. See him move through smoke and mirrors. Feel his presence. Other girls, they gather around him. If I had him, I wouldn't let him out. Golden eye, not lace or leather. Golden chain, take him to the spot. Golden eye, I'll show him forever. It'll take forever to see.
Epic, cinematic, as you would expect from a James Bond theme song. That's Golden
Eye. I have a CD in my car and it's all the James Bond hits up as far as Sheryl Crow's Tomorrow Never Dies.
Aha.
It is a brilliant CD.
Yes. Do they all
and
sound
the more
a bit samey?
Hits are nice as well.
Do they not all sound a bit samey? No,
no,
no.
Not
okay,
at all.
Right, okay, you're out and about, James Bond style, in search of what?
In search of ice cream. It's such a beautiful day here. I'm on a mission in Crumlin. I have been out and about all morning. The weather is amazing, Ray. I don't have to say that to you. I know you're stuck downstairs.
Yes, that's the thing. Go on, tease us. How lovely is it?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you what I'm wearing. Oh. I have a lovely sundress on and shades as well. And I need it today because I'm looking up at the sky here in Crumlin and I can't see a cloud in sight. I can see birds. I can see the sun. And I can see happy, smiling faces all around. What is it about the fine weather? It puts everyone in such a good mood. No, I was raring to get out of the bed today.
Like, imagine if we live in the country where it was sunny all the time. You know what I mean? We wouldn't have days like this. Yes. No, we wouldn't have days like this where people are smiling because it'd be just boring. Here, so you're out there. I hope you have your SPF on. I know I'm sounding like an annoying dad or uncle or mother or whatever, but have you got your sunscreen on?
I certainly do. It's very important. Yes, very important. Very important.
Yes. And you're in search of ice cream. Why Crumlin?
Well, I know that a certain ice cream man that goes by the name of Noel Tracy from Tiger Ice Cream will be out here later on in his van. I'll probably hear him before I see him. Yes. And he serves ice creams on the streets of Dublin and all over the county and in Kildare as well. So I'm on a mission. I'm out to find him and to find myself a beautiful 99 or, well, I don't know. I'll see what he has in store for me. And he might be able to entice me to try something that's a little bit different because I'm a little bit safe when it comes to ice creams. I like the 99. I don't even like a flake in the 99. I just like the 99.
I don't think it's a 99 without a flake, is it?
It's a 98.
No, no. The 99 is the flake thing. You're just cone then. That's the thing. There's been loads of debate over the years why it's called a 99. And a man from Cadbury's once told me that the little flake thing was in the catalogue of produce or products from Cadbury's. It was product number 99. That's where it got its name. There are loads of different theories, and I'm sure somebody will offer up another theory today on 51551. But that's
been
the 99.
Living a lie.
Yeah. So, like, thanks for asking. Yeah. The way I eat it is, I get the 99, right? But then I shove the chocolate down into the cone, right? So then you eat it as you would eat it without the 99. But then when you get to the cone, you're getting chocolate, the cone and ice cream all together. It's just perfect. It's just delicious.
Because sometimes I don't like the contrast between the texture of the flake and the taste of the flake and then the coldness of the ice cream itself.
That's the appeal.
Yeah, I don't get it that much. I always have to eat the flake first before I attack the ice cream.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Anyway, everyone has their own and everyone has their favourite, and you found out on the streets of Dublin what people's favourites were.
Well, I saw this one man and he was wearing a Dublin jersey and he walked past me and he had a cone in his hand and half of it was gone. There was a flake in it that was half gone as well. And I walked past him and then I realised I need to talk to that man. So I ran back and approached him and his name was Anthony.
Every time I come into town, about twice a week, I always get my 99. Or I'm in Dunleary, out to Teddy's, my flake and the raspberry. Sauce they put on and it dribbles down the side of it.
Ah, right. That's Anthony.
And then I spoke to Denise as well, and she had a theory about the sauce.
Well, we do normally put just syrup on our toppings, but sometimes when we're having a really hot day, we'll go with marshmallows and maybe some jellies as well. We sometimes get the chocolate one as well, but we put that in the cone before we put the ice cream on it. So that's Mommy's special recipe.
Me and Denise are going well.
Very special recipe, isn't it? Yes. You'd get a bit of a surprise if you didn't realise what she was up to.
That was Denise.
Like, what's this? Yeah, but not everyone likes toppings. I spoke to Lindsay as well.
I don't like any toppings on my ice cream. Maybe the occasional flake, but otherwise it's more a question of the flavour of the ice cream and the mix of them.
What's your favourite flavour, Sil?
Oh, pistachio, I think. If we could get it, rum and butter, but I don't think they do rum and butter. It's mostly rum and raisin.
I'm a big fan of rum and raisin.
Rum and raisin. It has a bit of a kick, doesn't it?
Yes. Now, rum and butter I've never had. That's interesting.
It doesn't sound as appealing as rum and raisin.
Yeah. Anything with raisins gets me anyway.
But they have so many flavours now, you know, sea salt and brown bread ice cream, and you wouldn't know what to get when you'd walk into an ice cream parlour.
You don't even know what a 99 is, Sinead.
I don't.
We have to educate you on ice cream today, right?
I'd like vanilla, please.
What did May have to say? Let's see.
My favourite ice cream would be a corner with a big flake in it all day long.
What about toppings? What are your favourite toppings?
Well, it would be coconuts, almonds, things like that. Not so much sweets or beets, but flake all day long. I eat half of it, and then I take the other half out and eat it, and then finish off the corner.
Half and half. Maisa, half and half.
She has a good good way to go about it, doesn't she?
Yes. I really like this next guy. Did you find out if he's an engineer or something? The detail.
I do believe he works in a university.
Right. Not surprised. Not surprised. What's his name?
Kirk.
I can remember as a kid, there was what was called a screwball, which was actually wasn't a topping. It was actually an underneath. So basically, at the bottom of the ice cream, so it was a cone-shaped holder, there was a little spherical receptacle, shall we call it, for a chewing gum. So you'd eat through your ice cream, very nice, and you get to the end and it was a semi-frozen chewing gum. The cone holder was actually transparent, so you could see it at the end. And yeah, you'd be waiting to, you know, get through your ice cream and then down to something even worse.
Come on, Kirk.
I tell you, some attention to detail there.
Yes, I remember the screwball.
Go on, I don't remember it
yes,
at all.
Yeah, so your man had arrived in his ice cream van with his dingy.
Yeah.
And there was loads of it because they had to have a variety of produce. They couldn't just have a cone with a 99 or whatever.
Yeah.
So these were served in plastic things as Kirk described. And then at the end, then the bonus was some chewing gum. So that was it. And there was loads of syrup on top. I don't know. I can't remember if they were pre-prepared or not. I don't think they were. The chewing gum was in the thing, and he then did the ice cream and then put the syrup on top and delivered it to you. I think that was the screwball. People will correct me again. 515-51 if I'm wrong. So
that ice cream would last for a few hours, because once you'd finished the ice cream, you'd have something else.
You'd have the chewing gum. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Good value.
Giving.
Good value. Yes. Yeah. 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 So you met two likely lads then at the end, did you?
I did, James and Glenn. And James loves an ice cream that is a firm favourite with friends of mine as well. A very popular one.
I love a brunch. It used to be a loop-de-loop, and capitalism got a hold of the loop-de-loops. The chocolates aren't the same, they're a bit smaller. So I'd have to go with a brunch. I like eating around the sides first.
Have you had a brunch already this year?
Do you know what? Not that I can remember. I think we're sort of only coming into brunch territory now, aren't we?
Yeah. James has spotted the shrinkflation. It's affected everything. Shrinkflation. Yes, yeah.
And I saw a loop-de-loop last day and I noted it. Yeah,
yeah.
It's smaller.
Have you ever had a brunch?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there. Many's the time.
Brunch
they're
is good.
Great.
So
yeah.
when you go away from the cone, then what's your favourite?
If I'm feeling like I can splash out, I might go for a Magnum.
Right.
But then you can't beat the classics like a Twister or a Tangle Twister, I think was what it was called before they dropped the Tangle.
Mm.
But Twisters are lovely. I love when you get to the red piece in the centre, that kind of ice lolly style.
Nice.
Recipe. It's really nice. And you kind of feel like it's misleading, because you feel like an ice cream is quenching your thirst, especially the Tangle Twisters or the...
Don't ruin it for us. That's it. Don't ruin it for us. Don't ruin it for us. We don't want any science here today.
I'll say one thing.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm thirsty
yes,
after an
you
ice
are.
Cream.
Yes, yeah. There's a science to that. Iceburger.
Yeah, I want more.
Thanks for asking. Iceburger is my favourite. Thanks for asking.
It's all me.
And you asked Glenn as well what his favourite was.
It has to be a Calippo, yeah? Calippo, yeah. Or like the push pops, you know them. I would be a fan of ice cream, yeah, but if I was eating ice cream, it'd be like HB ice cream on the block, chopped down, a couple of wafers.
Yeah.
But if it's not ice cream, it's a Calippo, yeah?
Yeah, there you go. That's the old school. I remember Granny Darcy doing that up in the shop.
Oh.
And the big knife, a big knife with the block of ice cream, vanilla. It was always sometimes with a little raspberry ripple in the middle,
yes.
And the wafers either side of it. Mm. Yummity.
So good. And would you be looking to see how big a chunk she'd give you of ice cream?
Yeah, I don't like my younger self for that. I was always comparing when it came to ice creams and desserts. I just, you know, I don't know if anybody else has a memory of themselves as a younger person that they don't like. And that was the trait that I recognised in myself now, but I don't like it. I was always comparing. They got more than me, they got more than me. Maybe that's just being a child, is it? I don't know.
Totally, just
yes,
being a child.
Just being
yeah,
a child,
yeah.
Okay. Okay, I think I hear Noel. I think I hear Noel calling you there.
Ding, ding, ding. Okay,
off you go.
Off you go.
See you, Sinead. Mind yourself. See you later.
Bye.
Bye. Ah, yeah. Tina Turner, We Don't Need Another Hero. I'm out of breath just listening to Tina Turner. What a performer, says somebody. And John says, isn't it hard to believe River Deep Mountain High only reached number 88 in the US charts? It reached number 3 in the UK and number 1 in Spain. Thank you, John. On Pen Pals, Eleanor has been on. She says, I have a pen pal in California for 56 years. We've never met or spoken. We write all the time. I send her postcards from wherever I visit in Ireland and from different parts of the world. Hopefully our next trip will be to meet up. Ah, we'll have to contact Eleanor, won't we, to have a chat. And the weather in Longford is cloudy, says Trish. Cloudy here in Longford, as usual. There's a lot of resignation in that short little text message. On ice cream, best 99 in the country is the first one of the season. In Spillane's pub in Maharees in County Kerry, says Christina. And somebody else says, Aaron says, I agree with Sinead. I take out the flake and eat it and then eat the ice cream. Whatever floats your boat. But that was another thing, wasn't it? Remember the boat? You got the boat. The ice cream boat. That was another thing. I was in Ashford Wicklow yesterday and got the biggest 99 cone in Big Mouth ice cream shop. With the size of the ice cream, I know why they name it Big Mouth. LOL, Tommy in Dublin. Yeah, Big Mouth. So anyway, any memories on ice cream, anything like that, pen pals, 51551 radio.rte.ie. And we're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our Who Done a Quiz. Two quizzers, three whodunit questions on music, sport, TV, books, politics, film, comedians. And like all whodunits, there will be clues. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points because it's more difficult. And whoever has the most points at the end is the winner and they will win a prize. And the prize this week is a two-night stay for two people in Farnham Estate in Cavan, located in the heart of a magnificent estate with 1,300 acres of mature woodlands and lakes to explore. Less than 90 minutes from Dublin Farnham Estate, Spa and Golf Resort is a contemporary and stylish hotel full of country charm and character. It's lovely up there. It really is lovely up there. It's surrounded by natural beauty among acres of rolling countryside. Just what the doctor ordered at this time of the year for a little break for two people. Even if you don't play golf, there's loads of things to do. Farnhamestate.ie, Farnhamestate.ie. Here's your qualifying question on this Thursday afternoon. Which reality TV dating show is coming back for a 10th series in June? Is it Love Island or Love Hate Island? Which reality TV dating show is coming back for a 10th series in June? Love Island or Love Hate Island? 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, you wouldn't normally put our next two guests together, but for one night only, they're joining forces with some of Ireland's top musicians to raise money for Rock Against Homelessness in aid of Focus Ireland. Sister Stan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Lyra, good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm not now saying this just for saying it. I mean this. You are two of my favourite women in Ireland.
Woohoo! Aren't we the lucky ones?
No, but Sister Stan knows that already, Lyra. But we've never met, but I've been a fan from afar.
Thanks, so
it's great to finally meet you. I'm a big fan of your work. I think you're an amazing singer and I'm just waiting for your world domination, which is...
It's coming.
It's going to happen eventually. So when is the gig? It's Friday. It's tomorrow night. Yes, yeah. There's been a big lead up to this, hasn't there, Lyra?
It has. You know, we've had amazing support. We've had people talking about it, writing about it, putting up photos of two of us. I nearly got a shock, two of us in the front of the newspaper. I was like, look at us, go girl. So it's been amazing. I'm delighted to be headlining the event. Yeah. I think it's an amazing cause. And you know what? Everyone knows I've a loud voice and I'm singing, so it's about time I put that into action with something else. And what a better cause than Focus Ireland. So thanks everyone for having me.
And you've only recently met this amazing woman, Lyra.
I did, yeah. I know. I was thinking maybe we should both get matching outfits for tomorrow night. I have a second pair of tie-high boots out the back. I might have to whack them on her.
I leave that hanging in the air there for a moment. How are you, Stan? How are you?
I'm good. Very good, Ray. Yes, thank God. For my age, I'm good for my age.
This is an annual thing, and these events are not only important for raising money, but also raising awareness, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's very important. Raising awareness is as important as raising money. Because you have to all the time keep it before people, remind people that homelessness is a big, big problem in Ireland and getting worse. Mm. I mean, it's really bad. I'm a long time, I'm 40 years working in this area now, but, and I've said this before, I've never, ever seen it so bad. I never could imagine it would be so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because when I started, the numbers were small, but there were people homeless. The first thing I did research on the nature and extent of homelessness amongst women. And that was really new because people didn't believe there was homelessness amongst women. They thought there were men, down and out men, who drank a lot and wouldn't work. But the research showed that there were women. And we started then Focus Point, which was a small organisation working with a small number of homeless women. And very quickly it became a big organisation because the need... the need was great, but still it was small until, I suppose, that was 85 Focus Point started. And there were a number of homeless, there were young people becoming homeless, but there were houses, Ballymun flats were there. So we could house people when we helped people, but there were some people who needed more than housing, they needed support because they had mental health needs or some other needs. But that went on in the beginning. And that was good work, and we were managing to house people. Then by the end of the 80s, the government stopped providing social housing. They handed it over to the private sector. They said, now, you provide the housing. We're not going to use it anymore. So the private sector weren't a bit interested in providing housing for people who couldn't afford to buy. So the waiting list started to increase. And that was 89, 90. And each year we'd have an annual thing and I would be saying, the numbers are increasing. They've increased year upon year upon year. So the numbers of homeless people are greater. And not only that, but they were waiting longer.
Yes.
And then their other problems emerged.
And what you say there about keeping it in the news, because at the end of March... it was all over the place because there was big talk about the eviction ban being lifted on the 1st of April, which was lifted. Mm-hmm. And then there's been radio silence. I suppose there will be another round of interest in it when the figures for April come out.
Exactly.
When will they be out?
We don't know.
No, right.
Soon, we hope.
And the predictions are that they're going to be the worst ever.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They're bad enough as is. There's nearly 12,000 people homeless, 11,900 or something. And over 3,500 children homeless. Now, that's the highest it's ever been so far. And because they're lifted the eviction ban, and that will mean a lot more people will have been evicted. And people are living in terror of being evicted. It's awful.
And, of course, back in the 80s, there was very little inward migration into Ireland. So now in the last year, for example, 65,000 Ukrainians... and we still have people seeking
asylum,
asylum here as well, and that's putting a lot of pressure on the housing situation. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
It's difficult, but it's a different problem, and I think we could keep them separate. I mean, we should be able to cater for our own people, you know, and we should be able to offer asylum and a home to people like the Ukrainians and people from different parts of Africa. We should be able to keep them separate. And we could. We could, if we wanted to. I mean, it's the fact that we have so many of our own homeless is our own fault.
Yeah, we shouldn't be here.
We shouldn't
be
here. No. I mean, it's scandalous.
Yeah.
It's scandalous. I mean, you can imagine all those children homeless living in B&Bs and living in hotel rooms. I mean, small children who can't even learn to stand or to crawl or to walk because there is space. I mean, those kind of things. They can't do if they're going to school, they can't do their lessons. And we're talking about hundreds of children.
And you say every time, and this is important that we remind people about this, we have no idea the negative effect that this is going to have on them long term.
Oh, no, we've no idea. We only know that it can't be good.
No, well, it's going to be negative anyway, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and we have as many, in fact, in the north inner city, there's about 1,000 children homeless, would you believe? Because they're in bed and breakfast and hotels and they're going to schools and the confusion and some children have to travel to school. Mm-hmm. It's all just awful. I can't even find words to describe how awful and wrong. It is just wrong.
We have to find hope. And I'm holding your book here, your latest book, Finding Hope, where you sent a letter to people asking them where they found hope in their lives. And I suppose, you know, I can now throw it back at you, and as opposed to send you an email or a letter, I just ask you out straight, where do you find hope in your life?
Well, I suppose my faith gives me hope. Mm. You know, I believe that God will provide, and that, you know, that providence is over it all. So the faith for me would be a big thing. The other thing that gives me faith when I look at the homeless situation is, so I think I said this to you before, St. Augustine said that Hope had two lovely daughters. One was anger and one was courage.
Right.
So it makes me very angry, but also I have the courage to do something about it. So the two of them together gives hope. Uh-huh. So that's what I feel. You have to be angry. I mean, it just gets to your head. But then having the courage to, if I was able to do nothing about it, and if I didn't see people around me who are doing a lot about it, then I think I wouldn't have hope.
Mm.
But it's that seeing great people and seeing people are like you.
Lyra, yes.
I mean, just giving up your time to do this, so that really gives great courage and great hope. So there's that happening.
Where do you get your hope from, Lyra?
I know it actually sounds a bit ironic now because we're talking about obviously homeless, but I find a lot of hope when I'm at home. That's where it is for me.
Bandon.
Like, that's the one. When I'm at home, I feel like I can take over the world. It's my safe place. It's where it gives me courage. It's where I'm, I suppose, really, truly me.
Mm.
And that's where it is. Because otherwise, you're on the road. You're in crap touring vans all the time. And you can lose yourself and you can lose hope and you can lose your identity. And you can be nervous and be scared about your future. But the second I hit the foot in that front door to where my family is, that's me.
I'm sure meeting Sister Stan and dealing with Focus and in the lead up to tomorrow night's gig about homelessness, that you've appreciated more what you have.
Massively. And I've learned so much more. Like the second I got the email to ask if I would participate in this, I was an automatic yes from what I, at that time, very little knew about what was going on. And now that I've been through it and, you know, this isn't our first time hanging out, by the way, right? Not our first time here.
I've seen the photos.
I've been educated a lot by this woman. And hearing the shocking stats that I'm hearing, and it's mainly as well the children for me. My sister, you know, has started our very first family in, like, little ones, two-year-olds and a four-year-old. And just that just brings shock and horror to my heart. So now even more, I'm like on my social media trying to educate other people that, like me, didn't know at the start. I'm going to get up there tomorrow night and they're going to have the best 45 minutes of their lives and I'm going to leave everything on that stage. And, you know, I do think there is a few tickets left. People, not just for me, for Ireland, come out.
Yes.
Let's have a great night. You get to celebrate. You get to donate to an amazing cause. Let's do it together.
Stan, hope is there, anger and courage. But as you said at the start, it's over 40 years now that you've been working away and praying away, and the situation's getting worse and worse, as they say. And how do you reconcile that in your head?
I suppose I can't really.
No.
You know, because, you know, it's very... it's very disturbing and it's very upsetting. And especially, as you were saying, you're thinking of your sister with three little children. And when you think of that, and then you think of small children and three small children that are homeless and that are in a small hotel room living their whole life. Mm. I mean, it is upsetting.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. It's upsetting and it makes me angry. And it's... I mean, for years, we've been saying, look, this is going to be disastrous. This is a disaster. Every year, the numbers were increasing. And it's quite amazing that you watched it grow before your eyes, but you were powerless except to keep identifying. And yet, nothing was done about it until now.
Well, yeah, but like, Like, I remember you and Peter McFerry in here for the 2016 general election, where homelessness was a huge, it was huge. It was in all the debates and everyone was talking about it. And we thought then, which is 7 years ago, that this was the time. For the first time, people were talking about homelessness on the doorstep. So when politicians came a knocking, people were saying, what are you going to do about homelessness? People who had homes were asking for other people, which was a big shift, wasn't it?
It was a big shift.
Yeah, and we thought that's going to make a difference. Now, politicians will see that this is something that will get them votes. Mm-hmm. And yet, here we are 7 years on. Now, there's little bits of developments here and there, but you're at the coalface. There doesn't seem to be enough been done.
No, there isn't enough. There isn't enough. And I mean, there a lot more could be done, can be done, and has to be done.
Mm.
So we have to keep on knocking at the door, keep on shouting about it. The politicians are much more vocal now about it because, I mean, they see it and they hear it all the time. But they have to be more than vocal. Mm. We want to see a lot more done with sites that are not used, with houses that are not used, with local authority land that could be used. We have to see a lot more action, real, real action, and see, and also look at the kind of housing we want. I mean, can we have rapid housing? We should be doing everything possible to help people out of homes. Yes. They're talking about now having 9,000 houses built by next year. We hope they will. By this year, the end of this year, we hope they will. But we kind of feel they must prioritise the people who are homeless. You know, we should prioritise families, for example. And we should prioritise people who are homeless. And in that way, reduce the people that are homeless. There are still people who are housing lists, you know, but the people who are in right now homeless, they should be our first priority. First priority.
Do you think you'll see it in your lifetime, Stan?
Well, I hope.
Yeah.
I hope so. The woman that lived to 109.
Yourself and Maureen Hughes. Yeah. She's a great woman, isn't she?
She's a great woman.
I love that because she was asked, you know, she was telling the story about when she, did you know this Ireland's oldest woman, Maureen Hughes, she celebrated her birthday during the week.
Wow.
And she was given an interview and she was talking about the nursing home she's in, which is in Chapelizod. I think it's St. Mary's Nursing Home, or Mary's in the title anyway. When she was a kid, she was walking past it when they were building it. And they asked the young fella, what are they building? And he said, I think they're building a home for rich owl ones, right? and then somebody said to her, are you a rich owl one? And her response, which was brilliant, she says, well, I'm rich in the company that I keep.
Mm.
Lovely. Wasn't that lovely?
Yeah,
lovely. Yeah.
She's an extraordinary woman.
Extraordinary woman, yeah.
Mm.
So tomorrow night, tickets still available, Rock Against Homelessness in Aid of Focus Ireland. And you were there, Lyra. And you're getting emails from other people as well, Pink's people, Hyde Park.
I am, yeah. She wasn't available. Now, tomorrow night, I did try and hit her up. I was like, would you come down? Would you come down? Give us one of
your... You know Pink, Stan? She's a global star.
I know. Yeah,
she's amazing.
Yeah. And Lyra's going to be supporting her in Hyde Park.
Yeah, wonderful.
Which is big news. Yeah,
it's going to be exciting. I mean, it's a big stage. She's a big performer herself. Yes, I'll have to up the outfit, multiply by 2,000%. But sure, we'll get there. Fake it till you make it, Ray. Just keep going.
Sister Stan, backing singer.
Exactly.
Oh, it's great.
Will they tease you? Will they get you out tomorrow night? No.
Well, I can't go, actually. Past your bedtime. I'm not sure I'd fit in.
You'll be there in spirit and wishing them well. Yeah.
I will.
How many years is it going now, Stan?
Is it 8?
8 years,
yeah.
Right? Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I think the Sunday Independent, or the Independent, has been supporting us for eight years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, it's great because people should know that 40% of Focus Ireland's actual funded money comes from this night.
Okay. Like, it's from this night. It's a big night for them. Yeah. It's a big night for them.
So, you know, that's massive.
Okay.
Great.
Tell us who else is on the...
So we have Amy, we have Bobby Arlo, Jack O'Rourke's going, Isaac Butler's going. There's loads of us. It's going to be a great night of loads of different types of music. So even if you're not into me, there'll be someone on the lineup that you will love. Right, so come down.
So you'll come back in and sing for some time, won't you?
I will, of course.
You will.
I'll bellow away here in a minute.
Stan, great to see you.
You too. So thank you for
there was Finding Peace, was it? Finding Hope.
You wrote for Finding
Peace. Yes, and you're planning a third one, are you?
Yeah, I hope so.
What's the...
It might be Gratefulness.
Gratitude. Yeah. That's important.
It is.
They say that in all the books, don't they? That it's important that we appreciate what we have.
That makes us happy. Yes. When we're grateful, we're happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We think the opposite, that when we're happy, we're grateful, which is the opposite, actually. When we are grateful, it does give us a...
It gives us a warm feeling.
It does.
I want to talk to you sometime about happiness. Because I think this search... This quest for happiness is making us sad. Because, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not achievable all the time.
No.
Anyway, for the moment, I'm very thankful and appreciative that both of you came in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for
Sister
having
Stan,
us.
Great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Mind yourself and good luck tomorrow night, Lara.
Thanks a million, Ray. Thanks so much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Anya from Karen Ross has been on. She says, my son had to do a project on dedication and he chose to focus on Sister Stan. A very easy project as there was so much evidence of her dedication. Yeah, over 40 years. There's a fantastic film written and starring our own Claire Dunn called Herself. It portrays homelessness and hotel living so well. It's a great movie. There's another one called Rosie, which was written by Roddy Doyle, which is another great fictional depiction of a real life problem, but very good as well. Highly recommend from here, both of those. My favourite childhood memory was a big glass of vanilla ice cream and Club Orange poured over it. Yum, yum, yum. Best taste of summer ever, says Deirdre. And you're making me hungry. I love a 99. It's a must have when I come home from the holidays. I can't get them in Vancouver in Canada. I was home in April and had two during my visit. I love mine with raspberry syrup, but I will try it your way when I'm home next. We don't have to. I tried calling in while I was home to try win a travel mug, keep cup, but didn't get through. I would have loved to bring one back. That's Lorraine in Vancouver. How are you doing, Lorraine? Say hello to Sinead and hello to Noel. Hello, everybody. Hello.
How are you?
Great, you're there. How are you, Noel Tracy?
I'm not too bad, mate. Not too bad.
Yeah, you better do it. Just press the button there, Noel. Get us in the mood. Okay, kill it there, Noel. Kill it.
The kids running out from the estate,
sorry,
right?
Sorry. I forgot that. I didn't think it through.
Yeah. What's
great,
the story?
Great to talk to you, Noel. You're there with our Sinead. I hope you're treating her well.
I am.
Yeah. Has she got her 99
sure
yet?
She's just dipping her fingers into all my sprinkles here already, you know?
Right.
She's not even wearing any gloves, so...
So, Noel, give us your CV, your pedigree.
I'm at this all my life, right, since I was a kid. I just showed Sinead a few photographs here, kind of embarrassing, but me on the beach with my dad back in the, it must be really early 80s, and I've just been brought up in it. It's what we do. It's in the bloods, as they say.
Yeah, and Tiger Ice Cream, where does the name Tiger come from?
Bit of a long story. It was my dad's nickname, and we just carried it into the ice cream then. It was just how everybody knew us, and then we kind of went off it for a while. And then when the dot-coms come in and we had a website, we just went back to it because it was the Tiger economy and it was just it just sounded good. It just sounded good. And we went back to our roots, as you say.
Yeah.
So, that's where it came from.
And are you addicted to the weather apps?
I don't look at them anymore, Ray, because they're no good.
All right.
But if I was to go by the weather apps, I'd never get to work, to be honest with you. It's always raining when you look at them.
Right,
so,
okay.
Going to work, whether it's raining or not, you know that way.
Yeah.
I tend not to look at them.
You have
the apps that are a day off app, and then you have the apps that are a positive app. That's what I find.
Right.
Not really.
The good news is that they're saying, Met Aaron are saying, that it's good weather well into next week. 20 degrees.
Yeah, so I believe, yeah. So the phone is hopping. Phone is actually hopping. And you can't get off the phone at the minute. So it's good. And at the same time, you're trying to walk and sell ice cream as well, you know, that way. So,
yeah. So what's the most popular product in Tiger Ice Cream's van?
The 99.
By
a mile.
Yeah.
By a mile. But now these days, so kids are spoiled for choice, so there's ice cream parlours everywhere, and you know, with the garages and all that, so us ice cream men have to adapt, so we have everything that we will get in a parlour now. So I'm looking at Oreos and sherbet, chocolate sprinkles, marshmallows,
yeah,
Biscoff, you name it, we have it now, because you have to adapt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so yeah, but what's the 99 is by far the most popular.
And what's the secret?
99 with raspberry syrup.
What's the secret to, you know, creating the perfect cone?
I suppose it's really all about how you prepare your day. You know, you start your day, you clean all your machines, make sure everything's ready to go, and, you know, fail to prepare and prepare to fail, as they say. It's the exact same thing in this business. Use a good product.
Yeah.
Make sure everything is good and clean, and you know, we start 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, we start getting ready. It's a couple of hours before we even, you know, even think about going out to sell the ice cream, and that's just the way it is, you know. So it's the trick, I suppose, is just do things the right way, I suppose.
Right.
Use good products.
Have you showed our Sinead how to prepare an ice cream cone?
I will.
Yeah. Okay, I'm in for it now, right?
I better get the lingo right, Noel. Is it to pull a cone? You pull a cone, is that it?
Yes.
You pull a cone,
right. Yes.
Okay, yes.
Now, it's harder than you think.
Oh,
I'm going to let her make a mistake.
Right.
Okay.
So
I have the cone in my hand here, Ray.
Yes.
So here we go.
Right.
Okay.
So
the lever.
The trick is slow.
Slow. Okay.
And don't be afraid. Just let it build up.
Okay. And okay? Do I move my both hands or no? Just
no.
The, just
leave
the
this
right one
here, and then it will actually push your hand down. You'll find it.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I've made a mess, Ray.
This looks a bit like a flying saucer, Ray. That's it.
Hey.
There you go.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey.
Looks good. I'll take a photo.
Yeah, you can leave your CV in the back.
Listen, Sinead, it's radio looking for you. Save your blushes.
No. There's nothing wrong with it. It's grand.
No,
it's grand.
Listen, we're keeping you away from your work. I know you have a big birthday later in the summer, in August, so in advance, happy 50th.
Oh, stop. Rumours fly.
Will you give us one last blast of Daisy Daisy there before we go?
I will.
Noel Tracy from Tiger Cream Van. Thanks, Noel. Woo-hoo. Sinead, Slán, good luck. Enjoy your 99. Slán.
Thank you.
There you go. He stopped it already. He's afraid to attract the children. Okay, quick commercial break and then we go to Noel.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Good Marion, thank you very much. 51551 RTE.ie. Adele says, the new craze of very tall ice cream cones is crazy because they're top heavy and therefore the ice cream is at great risk of falling off. That's happened to me. You should have done a risk assessment on that, Adele, before you got it. But they're big. They're big. The fact that there's an ice cream parlour called Big Mouth Ice Creams. Wibbly Wobbly Wonders and Fat Frogs are fantastic. I'm not sure why they're no longer available. We should start a petition to get them back, says Liam in Mayo. Off you go, Liam. We're all with you. The reason the flake isn't as nice in the 99 is because the ice cream makes it too cold. Chocolate is nice a bit warmer, if you ask me. Leave Sinead alone, says Deirdre. Aha. So chocolate is nicer at room temperature. You're onto something there. Damien says, let's see how many of your listeners know what the poke man is. It's a northern thing. Well, as it happens, we have Cara working on the show today, who happens to be from County Down, and she's informed us that a poke man is the vernacular up north for an ice cream man. Yay! See, sorted that one out very quickly. We didn't even have to Google it. You've described Screwball correctly. They weren't pre-made from Ice Cream Van, but I think some supermarkets sold pre-packed versions. Also, you're making me hungry for ice cream. And final one on this. Do you remember when you could buy a wafer or a half wafer in the shops? The shopkeeper had a silver marker that marked the block and he then cut you a wafer. Yes, well, Granny D'Arcy used to do that back in the day. That'd be the 70s. Oh, my word. Anyway, time for the Who Done It quiz. Where'd the time go? Two quizzes standing by and a prize. And the prize is two nights stay for two people in Farnham Estate, County Cavan. It's located in the heart of a magnificent estate with 1,300 acres of mature woodlands, lakes and lakes to explore. There's a golf club up there. They have a spa. Farnhamestate.ie. And it's all just an hour and a half from Dublin. Val Colleran is in Ballinasloe. How are you doing, Val?
I'm very good, Ray. How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you.
Likewise.
You're
Thank
on
you.
A day off.
I'm on a day off. I'm minding my 90-year-old mum.
Right.
She was 92 weeks ago, yes.
Oh, so, brilliant.
Yeah, so she's good. She's after rearing 10 of us, big family.
No way, 10?
10, yes, yes.
And what's the age span? Are they all still alive? Are you all still alive?
They are, yeah. We're all still alive. My dad, God rest him, he passed away a few years ago. But all of us, so it's ranging from 49.
62 to 49?
Yeah, all pretty close. There was no TV back then.
Jeannie
yeah.
Macker, 62 to 49. That's only 13 years. 10 children That's in 13 all. Years.
Yes, yes. There's one set of twins in there now.
Right, okay, okay.
We'll forgive them for that one, yeah.
and Rose is in good form, your mum?
Rose is great, yes. She's great. Finest, yes.
Great.
She's great, yes.
And how many are still around or all over the world? Or?
No, they're all in Ireland, I believe. Right. Everyone's here.
Everyone's in Ireland, right.
Everyone's in Ireland, yes, which is great.
That's brilliant.
Yeah,
you run a business in Ballinasloe.
So I run a small little business, family business called Utah Department Store. So it pays the bills. It's great.
Utah Department Store. Right. Go on. You have to explain that now.
Utah.ie if anyone is interested. As in men's, ladies, and kids. And
why Utah? Why
Utah? Well, I Googled states in America.
Yeah.
And that just popped up. There's no true meaning to it. Two syllables. And you know what? It works. It's great.
Utah, right, okay.
Utah, yeah, nice and simple.
Tie you, Utah. Yeah. Right, well, great. You're up against Patrick in Ronanstown. How are you doing, Patrick?
All right, Raimondo, what's the story?
All good here. So you're in the sun, are you, or are you working or what?
No, I'm well retired. No, I live in Ronanstown. I walked to Ballyfermot in the sun this morning.
Nice, lovely.
Down to the gym, and... I mean, it was just so perfect. And when I come back, I had the afternoon siesta, which I have every day for the last 50 years,
right.
40 minutes sleep. And then I walked down to Dunn's in the mill just to keep a balance between the two superpower grocery shops. And and that was lovely. You know,
right.
I didn't even mind the inflated prices. The sun made it all good.
Sun made it all good, yeah. Everything looks better. Even inflated prices look better when the sun shines. Were you a fan of Tina Turner, Patrick? Or
yes.
Are you a fan?
Yes,
yeah.
as I told that lovely lady and your team there, what's love got to do with it? Oh, Jesus. It's just the emotion when you hear it now. Just brings back memories of that time in the 80s when we were all... finding our feet. I'm originally from Sligo, 40 years up here, and as I say, I was finding my feet.
In Dublin, yes.
Yeah.
Where were you going?
Going to the Tara Club and going to the Harp and going to all these places, you know, and listening to the Harp had a video jukebox, which nobody had at the time, and you saw all the videos on it, and it was really good.
Yeah.
But commiserations on last Sunday, of course, Sligo poaching a point off you to their guys in football.
Yeah.
Very, very unfair. Yeah. Very, very unfair.
Yeah, very, very unfair. Thanks for that. So although you've been in Dublin for 40 years, you're still flying the Sligo fag, which is great, particularly when you're talking to a Kildare man and Sligo beat Kildare last weekend.
Let's move on.
Yeah. So it's three questions each. I give you the category. Then I ask you if you want a clue or not. If you go for a clue and get it right, you get a point. If you go without a clue and get it right, you get 2 points. Whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. However, if it's drawing points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck to you both. Good luck, Val. Good luck, Patrick. Here we go.
Thanks, Ray.
Right, Val. We're starting with music. Do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
Okay, so for two, who is this?
I was only 24 hours from Tulsa. One day away from your arms, the jukebox started to play, and night turned into day as we were dancing closely.
Who's that?
I'm not sure. I'm going to stab a guess at Gilbert Sullivan.
No. Gene Pitney. 24 hours from Tulsa.
No, I wouldn't have got it. No.
1963. No. Maybe before your time. Okay.
Yes.
No panic yet. Patrick, music. Do you want a clue or not?
No.
No. Okay. For two, who is this?
Can't we give our love just one more try? Come on, baby. Let's start anew. Breaking up. It's hard to do.
Who's that?
Having a clue, but I'll go Dusty Springfield just as a mad guess.
No, Neil Sedaka. Neil Sedaka.
Jesus, that is a mad guess.
I didn't want to say anything. Okay, moving on. An even start, albeit no point start for both of you. We're on to the second question now. It's speeches at the Oscar, Val. Sorry, I'll say it again. Speeches at the Oscars, Val.
Okay.
Do you want a clue or not?
No clue.
Okay, so these... who is this speaking after receiving an Oscar for 2 points?
When I was little, my mother said, I want you to be something. And I guess this represents 23 or 24 years of my work. And I've never won anything before from my peers. And I don't think that this means that I am somebody, but I guess I'm on my way. Thank you.
Who do you think that is?
Ooh, I haven't a clue. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Sure. They're tough today, lads. They're tough.
Yeah, tough today.
You landed on a bad day. The sun may be shining, yeah, but not on the quiz questions. Patrick, speech is at the Oscars. Do you want a clue or not?
I think a tactical move here, yeah.
Yes, I think you're right. Yes, it's a good tactical move. So here's your clue. I once saw her at Notting Hill. I once saw her in Notting Hill. So for 1 point, who is this?
Thank you ever so much. I'm so happy. I have a television, so I'm going to spend some time here to tell you some things. And sir, you're doing a great job, but you're so quick with that stick, so why don't you sit? Because I may never be here again.
Who's that?
I have her, I can see her, but I can't. The name won't come out.
No. The Notting Hill reference, Julia Roberts. She starred in Notting Hill.
Yeah.
And she won an Oscar for Pretty Woman back in 1990. Still even, lads, still even. It's down to the wire. I'm building it up here. I'm building up the drama. Okay. Some of the best games are nil all draws. Okay, Val, final question is on Irish writers. Irish writers.
Ooh.
What do you think? Now, you see, if you go with a clue and then Patrick goes with a clue and gets it right, he's today's winner. If you go without a clue and get it right, then you put Patrick under a good bit of pressure, and it's definitely going to go to a tiebreaker at least for you.
Oh, I'll take no clue.
No clue, okay. So,
no clue, yeah.
For 2 points, who is this?
I was very lucky because it's such an accident, the accident of birth where you are born, and that's what always makes me so cross and angry when I read the astrology columns in papers where it says, you know, you will have a good week this week or there is a surprise. It really absolutely annoys me that people believe that kind of rubbish because, I mean, look at the accident of birth. Look at somebody who's born the same day as you were.
Which Irish writer is that?
I'm going to stab at Maeve Binchy.
It is Maeve Binchy. Yes, Maeve Binchy. Points on the board. Thought it'd never happen. Well done, Val. Yes. Now, Patrick, pressure. Din, 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 din. Haven't done that in a long time. So, you Irish writers, you sort of have to go without a clue, don't you?
Yeah, no clue.
No clue. Okay. So, for 2 points, to bring us to a tiebreak question, which Irish writer is this?
Yeah, once I knew how to read, I mean, I was away. I mean, I'd a voracious reader all my life, you know. I'd never go anywhere without a book. When they moved into the house, I don't know what they had. They probably had a table, two chairs, a bed, and books. My mother grew up in a bookish house. My father didn't, but he just loved books.
Who's that?
Roddy Doyle.
It is Roddy Doyle. It is, yes. You came good in the end, lads. You came good in the end, right? So it's a draw, which brings us to the equivalent of a penalty shootout. It's our tiebreak question. We asked you before you went on air. I'm going to repeat it now for our listeners at home. Whoever gets closer or closest to the correct answer is today's winner. Good luck to you both. According to Google Maps, how long would it take you to walk from Banagher in County Offaly to Limerick City Centre? So Banagher in County Offaly to Limerick City Centre walking. Your guess, Val?
Was 14 and a half hours.
14 and a half hours. It's 83.2 kilometres. And your guess, Patrick?
Oh, 3 hours, 22 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So you know now when you hear it back.
I know what's coming next.
Yes. Well, both of you were less than the actual answer. 16 hours and 55 minutes, but Val, you were closer. Sorry about that, Patrick. Patrick, we're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup. And lovely talking to you.
Nice one, Ray. Thanks.
Yeah.
And well done, Val. Well done.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, Patrick. Keep it going.
Okay, bye-bye.
Keep walking. Bye-bye. Keep going to the gym. Bye now. Val, you're off to Farnham Estate in County Cavan. Fantastic. Which is a lovely place to go, and you can see what's in store for you at farnhamestate.ie. Brilliant. Well done, Val. Mind yourself. See you. Bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, who doesn't love a good pen pal story? This is a great story. Two pen pals, one from New Jersey and the other from Australia, met for the first time after communicating for over 50 years in Dublin this week. And they're here with us in studio. Kathy and Colleen Kunistoshev. See there?
I love that. Are you swearing at me?
That means how are you in Irish, yes. How are you? This is a lovely story. It's a beautiful story. So Kathy, New Jersey, yes. And it's Kathy Glynn
Cohen,
right. And it's Colleen Mays,
yes.
From Canberra, right.
Yes.
So how did you start communicating in the first place and what age were you?
We were 10.
Right.
And I think that, like, we got each other's name in the back of a newspaper, or you wrote into the pen pal company and they matched you up with somebody somewhere else.
Right.
And I got matched up with her. And I guess she did the same thing in a newspaper.
That's right. Yeah. I lived on a farm, so there would have been a country, like, I think it was called the Land newspaper. And it would have been in their pen friends wanted in these countries. And mum let us do it. Our mums let us do it. And here we are.
It's just crazy.
Have you any memory of when the first letter landed through the letterbox?
Oh.
Have you?
No, but we both have memories, I think, of that airmail envelope. The striped airmail envelope, and the excitement.
Right. Yeah. And how you had to open, like when you wrote it, and then you had to like fold it
up.
Glue it.
Yeah.
You had to glue it, right? It was that like glass scene paper.
Yeah.
And then you had to fold it and then glue it. And then you'd have to wait and wait, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. The same.
And not only were you, you know, different sides of the world, but your worlds were very different.
For sure. I was country born on a farm, but I was in boarding school from when I was 6 to 18. So my letters probably were more school holiday letters than, you know, sort of all the time. So very, very different upbringings we had.
And you're in New Jersey.
I was in New Jersey, suburb.
Yeah. Tough enough, is it?
It was good. Yeah. It was good. Yeah. You know, post-war, split-level houses, everybody moved in at the same time. And, you know, just suburban life.
Yeah.
It was very suburban, outside of New York, but very suburban. Very suburban.
And was it a pig farm you were on?
Merino sheep.
Merino sheep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I had a
pig.
I
love their jumpers. Yeah. It's just so soft.
They are. Very soft. But I had a pet pig.
You had a pet pig called Percy.
It's called Percy.
Yes.
And I must have wrote that in my letters.
Yeah.
And then Kathy, and I've still got it, a pig, red pig money box and a white pink candle that she sent me. I've still got them. Yeah.
So you were swapping letters talking about pigs and other stuff. What sort of things can you remember telling
each other?
Yeah.
I think, you know, we were young. I think we just talked about like school and our friends and like what we were doing. I mean, I had a very normal life.
Yeah.
And I think it was school and friends, not boys. I don't think we really...
Not boys. Not I remember boys. The school. Because I remember one letter where you wrote to me and there was like violence in the school or something, and I couldn't understand how Kathy would have been in a school where there would be violence when I was in this Catholic school that... Yeah, so
idyllic.
That's right.
So just like nuns. Neighbor, like what we did, like...
Yeah. Innocent.
Very
innocent, right.
It was, you know what? It was the 60s. And I think it was really innocent. It wasn't like today.
So I'd imagine life takes over then. And that lovely, innocent, quaint pastime of pen palling, if that's a verb.
Yeah.
It fades, does it? There's no stop put to it. It just fades.
Yeah, I think we just got, like, I don't remember writing when I went to college. And I went to college at 17. I turned 18 when I was in college, but I don't remember writing in college. Mm. There's certain things like I kind of, you know, and then, it just faded. I don't know why. I mean, I really don't know why.
Life takes over.
Life takes over and you don't write as much and you're busy.
Yeah. I tried to find her though.
She did.
So I sent a letter to the occupant. I won't recite her address.
She doesn't live there anymore.
To this day. I know the code everywhere. Yeah. And I've just found out recently that that's where her mum still lives. So I sent this letter looking for her
What age are you when you sent that?
Probably about 30 or 40. Okay. And Kathy's since found it in a box of stuff.
My mother had passed away. My mother passed away like a year and a half ago. So, and she didn't live in the family house anymore, but she brought stuff with her whenever time she moved. So I was going through her stuff and then I opened up this box that she had, like she kept in her dresser. And there was the letter from her looking for me.
Yeah, but
30 years old.
Oh, no, this I found
just
a
recently.
Year and a half ago.
Yeah, but I'm saying it was written 30 years ago.
And I kept, and she never, and my mother wasn't like that kind of woman. I don't know why she didn't tell me.
Yeah.
But it was weird. But I'll tell you this craziest thing. Today we go on our trip, we go on our journey, we stop at our first place. I get out of the car and I look down and there's, I thought it was a penny. It's not. It's like a 2 penny or it's a 10 penny. But I thought it was my mother.
So saying hello to you.
Saying it's okay.
Yeah. So then, of course, technology ramps up.
Right.
Yes.
And you can find anybody anywhere in the world.
I did.
If you want to.
If you want to. And if you want to be found, I suppose.
Right. Exactly.
So you were always leading the chase.
She was.
Colleen.
I was.
Yes. Yeah.
So don't change your maiden name.
Never
drop your maiden name. So Kathy hadn't dropped her maiden name. And I found her. I looked on the internet and saw her business and what she does. And then I found her on Facebook and sent her a private message and just said, you know, hello, I had a pen friend by this name. Would you be that person? And she responded. She said, yes, that you're that person.
You're found. What do you do? What's your business?
Custom window treatments and interior design.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Custom window treatments and interior design. That's a mouthful.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we started.
When was that then?
That was in 2013.
2013.
10 years ago.
So we started, you know, messaging each other a little bit.
And then we were calling.
Yeah, one Christmas, I think you called me. It surprised me.
Yeah, yes.
I just got this call. I tell you, I cried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was the first time you'd heard each other's voices, was it?
Well, we heard each other's voices then, but...
We're on the first, it was the phone, and then we kind of translate. Now we're at FaceTime,
yes. So you've seen each other.
Yeah. Yes, a lot.
And, like, it's not a given that just because you found somebody in the back of a paper when you're 10 that you're going to like them when you're in your 60s. That's not a given, is it? No.
No. She's already telling me I'm bossy.
I just like to be in control.
But Kathy,
and I do too. So it's really
Before we come away. The only thing I'll say, Kathy, in Colleen's defence, if she wasn't a little bit bossy,
I wouldn't be here.
Exactly. You know that. So somebody has to lead.
Somebody's got to be the CEO. She's the CEO
of your
and I'm just following
pen palship. Yes.
Pen-palship.
Send all these words. It's lovely. Pen palling and pen palship. So then you decided that this is a neutral venue, I suppose. Ireland is that it?
No. Well, we wanted to go originally I thought I would go to Australia.
Yeah.
But I need 3 weeks. I can't take off 3 weeks. It's too expensive and it's too far for me.
Yeah.
So we decided where could we go that neither one of us had been to. So we decided on Ireland because neither one of us had been
here before.
And I think it was the best choice.
You're enjoying yourselves.
I'm having a best time.
Now we've 30 seconds to describe the first embrace of the pen pals.
I think I had a tear.
Yeah.
I didn't have a tear.
I didn't. But because I feel like
tired.
I've known her.
She was
tired. I wanted a nap.
I know you so well already. It's mad. Just those 10 minutes.
Wanted the nap.
Well, listen,
fabulous.
Thanks for taking time out of your holidays to come in and say hello to us. And it's part of the story, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
National Radio.
Ray Darcy is my name, just so when you're going home, you can tell people.
Okay. Oh, we will. Right, definitely.
Right. Kathy Glynn Cohane.
Thank you for saying my name.
Thank you very
much.
Yes, I try. And Colleen Mays.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your holiday.
Great to see you. Bye now.
Right, that's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.